Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. We are live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, just outside of Kitchen Notes in the main lobby, as we are every Thursday. Excited now for our next guest. Greg Wyshynski joins us. He's presented by Old National Bank. Get old. And, Greg, the draft begins tomorrow. We've already seen some player movement around the National Hockey League, but I have a feeling we're going to see even more, you know, in the coming days ahead with the draft going on. But how are you today?
I'm good. I listen, the more business that we can get done early so I can just, like, kick back with a margarita on July 2nd and forget about this whole thing, I'm all in favor of this.
I am right there with you. Let's start with some of the moves that have already happened. Evander Kane going to Vancouver. We kind of figured that after Edmonton lost back-to-back Stanley Cup finals to Florida that there would be some tweaking. Obviously, there's uncertainty when it comes to Connor McDavid. So what did you make of the Evander Kane move?
Well, from an Edmonton standpoint, it's great because I don't think that he was necessarily Mr. Popularity for that franchise. And
is he anywhere?
And it opens up. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. When I was writing about him, I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot about those two seasons in Buffalo where he got run out of town for off-ice stuff. I mean, it's just every single stop. The cap space is essential for Edmonton because they've got to give Draisaitl his big raise up to $14 million against the cap next season on that new contract. And then they have to sign Evan Bouchard, who's a restricted free agent, and it's going to cost them a pretty penny to sign him to a next deal. So, like, clearing out space was essential. Kane was an obvious choice. I'm just shocked. I don't quite understand the Vancouver part of this. Like, yeah. I understand that they're a team that's desperate for scoring on the wing. They want to add a little bit of the truculence and the physicality that left with JT Miller. They're hoping that the Vancouver native going back to Vancouver keeps him on his best behavior. But this guy's body's been breaking down the last few seasons, and obviously we know about his reputation going into a team that, you know, fell apart last year because of locker room problems. So for what they got, I'm a little bit surprised they didn't ask for more from Edmonton to sweeten the pot.
I'll tell you, I'm a little, I guess, intrigued by what Utah, the Mammoth, are doing because, you know, even though they inherited what was left of the Arizona Coyotes, they are an expansion team, and we saw their first year. Now they actually have a name. They're going to have a high draft pick, and now they've made a blockbuster trade. What do you make of the Mammoth?
I like that move for them last night for Paterka. I mean, there's a wide range of results for that kid's career. He's 23. You know, he could be someone who continues to be upwardly mobile and is maybe like a Jordan Kyrou type. I mean, if he improves his defense, maybe we're even talking about him in the Brandon Hagel category. Or, you know, he could end up being a guy like Jacob Verana, who had a couple of really good scoring seasons for the Capitals and then never was able to really recapture the Magic. But it's a good gamble for them to take. They definitely needed scoring on the wing. They were 21st in goals per game last year. But a lot of people love the dunk on Buffalo, and rightfully so, because they're a terrible team. But I do think they came out pretty good here. The defenseman they pulled, Michael Kesselring, to me is the kind of defenseman that you really want on your team. He's a right-handed shot. He's going to play in their top four. He's physical. I've liked watching him. I've liked him when I've watched the Mammoth this season. And Josh Doan, you know, the son of Shane Doan, has some offensive upside at the very least. You're getting two NHL players for Paterka, who was clearly a guy that didn't want to be there anymore. But boy, like I said last night, you want to talk about a moment in which the Arizona Coyotes are completely dead and buried. It's Shane Doan's kid getting traded away from the franchise. Like, that is it. That's the final nail in the Coyotes' coffin when that happens.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. So I asked Barry Trotz on Tuesday when he did his availability, you know, you've laid out this plan, you're building for the future, but you're also kind of trying to win in the now. At some point, do you have to pick a lane and stay in it? And his answer was basically, the roster is going to dictate that, what I do. And he thinks that this roster, you know, there's no way they're the 30th, you know, team in the NHL. They just had a terrible year. So he wants to give them an opportunity to have a bounce back. But if they don't, then yeah, that's going to dictate kind of where he goes. I think that they need to find a Zegras type player that is young, hasn't quite proven what he has, maybe needs a change of address to get that true potential. Do you think that type of player is still out there for Nashville to potentially go after?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, there are definitely teams out there that are having the kinds of mental conundrums about what to do with their young players that they might not, that they like, but might not love. I mean, you think of Keandre Miller with the New York Rangers, for example. I mean, that's a guy that I think is a quality NHL player. They just don't know if they want to pay him the money he's looking for and extend him for as long as he's looking for. And there are other situations that are going to be like that around the league. I mean, look, it's the thing that teams should do. You know, it's a copycat league, and everybody's looking at Florida winning back-to-back cups and being like, what could we do that they've done? And the answer is simple, which is they were the team that aggressively traded their draft picks and their futures for a guy like Sam Bennett. People forget Bennett was like fourth overall in the draft in Calgary. He never really met the expectations that were placed on him. And so Calgary was like, we don't want to pay him a long-term deal, and we also don't want to lose him for nothing in the expansion draft, so we'll trade him. And so there are going to be opportunities like that. Sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't, but for the most part, like, it's much better to do that than to try to like commit years and money to some guy that's, you know, turning 30 next year as an unrestricted free agent.
Greg, one of my all-time favorite draft stories in any professional league, it was in 1999. Mike Ditka with the Saints traded his entire draft for one player. Is there a GM in the NHL that's a maverick that would do it this year? I'm not saying to that extreme, but would package together a bunch of this draft class, send it out for one player in return. Is there one GM who would do that?
There's so many guys that are cowards that I don't know how many would actually do it. I do remember there being one GM. I can't remember who it was now that I believe talked about doing something crazy like that during McDavid's draft year of trying to pry him away from Edmonton by trading away their entire team. And I remember there was also a story way back in the day of Montreal trying to trade for Vinny LeCavalier from the Predators, and like the trade involved, you know, Carey Price, PK Subban, like it was a crazy amount of talent going the other way. I don't know who would be brave enough to do that. There are definitely folks that are maverick enough to do that, but again, it really depends on the player at the top of the draft. And in this draft, I mean, I think we could definitely put that thought aside, because there's not a player that's worth that level of investment. There might not even be a player in this draft worth three NHL players, let alone like 10.
Oh, nice. All right, the Preds will probably take number 5. They have two more in the first round. With that second player in the bottom, the third player in the first round, the second player at that late part of the first round, is that somebody you take a flyer on? You already got your fifth pick. You got the one after him. That third pick in the first round, would you take a flyer on some young guy that maybe it's kind of a chance on him? Would you do that?
Well, you've hit on draft philosophy, right? Like, your first, if you've got three picks, your first pick is always going to be probably an area of need. Like, if you're between a center and a defenseman, and your defense is pretty stout within your prospect pipeline, you're going to go for the center. And obviously, I think we all expect that the Predators are going to go for a center at 5. And then if you have another pick, then you're probably taking best player available, maybe a player that does fill another need in your lineup. And then as you get down in the first round, this is where you're taking your swing. You know, you're finding the odd named Latvian that people have forgotten about, and maybe he's going to go in the second round on most mock drafts, but you're taking him in the first round because you like his upside. So you're absolutely right. I mean, the lower you get in the first round, the more chances you're going to take. But you know, I'm intrigued to see what they do at 5. I think there's a kind of consensus on who the top 4 picks in this draft are going to be, which means that Nashville is kind of the pivot. And the name that I've focused on forever in this draft is James Hagans, a small size center, but a really good center from Boston College as a freshman. There's a lot of people that believe he's going to be the big dropper tomorrow, the guy that's going to plummet down the first round. If that's the case, I would be shocked if the Islanders don't find a way to trade up and bring home the Long Island native, especially because it's such a big day for them anyway with the first overall pick. But that's a player I think. I wonder what the conversations are internally for Nashville right now, because he is a dynamic offensive player, but they may opt for someone with a little bit more size, like a Roger McQueen or a Jake O'Brien at that spot.
Barry Trotz did tell our afternoon show on Tuesday that you know, basically in a perfect world, he'd want to take a center. But he's, you know, he's going to certainly take the best player available. If, you know, Martone is the one that's there, who's a winger, he's probably going to become a Nashville Predator. I think that's his mindset.
I think that is professional malfeasance.
That
we know
too.
What the center depth chart is for this team right now, and we know what the center depth chart is for the franchise right now. And there are a number of centers that are going to go in the top 10 that could be up in this league within like 2 years. Like, I just think you got to go in the middle if you're Nashville. But listen, I pretend to be a draft pundit for about 72 hours every year. You've caught me at a good time, and I'll say that I really do think that there are centers available that Nashville should consider before they go with Martone.
Well, I'll say this. He sat down with our afternoon show host, and Jared looks at him and goes, I got to tell you, I'm proud of you. And Barry's like, why? And he goes, because you spoke for 30 minutes and didn't say anything. you basically you answered all these questions without answering anything, and he laughed. I mean, that's a GM.
Yeah, he's grown into the role. We've gone from Barry explaining explicitly what's wrong with his teams as a coach to Barry now being the most vague and political guy in the room, and that's the true gift of a general manager. Make us feel like you're telling us something, and then we look back at our notes and we're like, oh man, we've got nothing.
Well, my favorite was, and you probably experienced this, is David Poile would tell you something, but he would do it in a way that you wouldn't realize that he was telling you something. And then when he actually revealed it, he was like, "Well, I tried to tell you." And I mean, that's how good he was. I'm like, there was one time, it was right after they re-signed Roman Josi. I ran into him in the media room, and I was like, you got any more surprises for us? And he's like, well, I don't know, maybe. There could be something coming up. And I thought he was joking, and 2 hours later they announced Austin Watson had re-signed. I was like, he's like, I tried to tell you.
I mean, listen, a good portion of your job as a sports writer is context clues.
Yes.
Like, you know, to go back to the Paterka trade we talked about off the top, I mean, Kevin Adams, the GM of the Buffalo Sabres, was asked, has he requested a trade? And he was doing his little tap dancing around the question. And then he said, you know, after the draft, I should be able to give you more clarity on that. And then you're like, oh, this cat's getting traded well before the draft then, isn't he? So, like, you just got to pick up on those things sometimes.
Greg, the Hockey Hall of Fame came out today. I'm reading your story you wrote on ESPN.com about that. You like who got selected?
Oh, I think it's an awesome class. I mean, I've been banging the drum on Alexander McGillney for a number of years. I think not only as a thrilling superstar player for the Sabres and the Canucks and the Devils, but also the Hockey Hall of Fame should tell the story of the game. And this is the first guy to defect from the Soviet Union to North America. He did it in a very, very, you know, it's like something out of a John le Carré novel. Like, it's just, it's spycraft the way it happened. And so like to be able to tell that story, to point to a plaque and tell your kid that story is why we have the Hockey Hall of Fame. So I thought that the three first-timers, Keith and Chara and Joe Thornton, were the correct picks. I wouldn't have made Carey Price or Ryan Getzlaff a first-ballot guy. And then we turn our attention to 2026. That's the story that I have on ESPN.com right now. I mean, Patrice Bergeron, slam dunk, first-ballot. Then you have Price, you have Marlowe, you have Getzlaff, you have Tkachuk, Keith Tkachuk, Zetterberg. You got a bunch of guys that are still in the mix beyond Bergeron, who's in his first year. And I'm intrigued to see what they do next year. I think it'll end up being Bergeron, Price, and Getzlaff, but I'm intrigued to see what they end up doing with Patrick Marleau. He's a bit of a compiler, but a lot of those ex-players on that selection committee do love somebody who had longevity, and nobody had more longevity than Marleau did.
Greg, as we wrap this up, Nashville has four picks in the top 35. I think we all feel like they're going to stick and pick at five. The other three, the two at the end of the first round and then the third pick in the second round, I'm not so sure of, because I get the sense that if Barry can do something, that's what he's going to do. Do you think they pick at all four of those spots, or do you see Barry making some moves?
I could see him making some moves, but it could ultimately be just to like move up in the first round. I mean, that's yeah, sometimes why you move those picks. I mean, trading first round picks in the NHL is not as commonplace as it is in other sports. And you know, part of the reason is because first round picks are clearly more valuable. I mean, you look at the statistics of the guys that eventually made the league. the drop off after the first round is you know, like downhill skiing. Like it's crazy the difference. So that's one reason. But you know, the other reason is that sometimes the packages are just to move up to get somebody that you like in the draft. It'll be intriguing to see. I mean, if we're to believe Barry and he wants to give this roster another shot, that would tell you that they want to probably improve the roster. One way to do that is trading your picks. And then maybe, you know, and we've talked about this before, the three of us, like maybe that also informs what ultimately happens with a guy like Jonathan Marchessault, who, you know, maybe people believe could use a fresh start. But if it's doubling down and just trying to make this thing work, then maybe he sticks around despite what other people think.
We will certainly see how it all goes. We have enjoyed this year. I know next week you'll probably be sipping a margarita somewhere because it'll be July 3rd. So I know we're going to take a little bit of a break, but thanks so much for doing this each week, and we'll definitely touch base this summer. If not to talk hockey, maybe a little wrestling.
Anytime. And again, like I don't like kissing behinds on the air, but you know, I enjoy doing this every week because I know the conversation will never be the same one that we had the previous week.
And that's, exactly.
Man, thanks.
As a guy who does his fair share of radio hits, let me tell you something right now. That is a gift. That is a gift to not have the same conversation twice in the span of a week. So I always appreciate talking to you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer, joining us here on the program. And he is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. We'll react to some of the things he said and kind of look at maybe the final predictions of what's going to happen with this draft. It's Chasing Big Joe live from the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Thursday. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel, just outside of Kitchen Notes, hanging out. You can text 615-737-1025, our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We have a funny one. Our buddy Raymond in Franklin, who always listens and chimes in, says, ask Big Joe if he knows any of the Hall of Famers that just got inducted.
Yeah, I know that one dude's 7 feet tall. Charo?
Hey, how about that Charo? Ain't she something?
Zdeno Chara is who you're talking
about. Mama call him Charo. I'm going to call him Charo. But he was six. Like, he's the tallest player ever. I'm reading.
Yeah,
I read Greg's.
That is
thing.
Correct.
Yes, Raymond. Look, let me get this out there, Raymond. I love the Nashville Predators. I love the Preds. In fact, I bought season tickets to the Preds. That's the only team I never bought season tickets to the Titans. I love the Predators. I don't care overall about hockey. When Edmonton plays Florida, I don't care. When the Nashville Predators are playing, I watch the games. I know the players. I know what they're doing. I love the Predators, all right? Overall hockey, I don't know the history of hockey. I don't know.
Okay, but
I love the Preds.
You should know this name, Duncan Keith.
I'm barely breathing. That's Duncan Sheik. I do not know Duncan Keith.
Played for the Blackhawks.
Okay.
Thorn in the Preds' back.
Okay, all right. Yep. I remember that, yep.
You should know this name, too. Joe Thornton. Jumbo Joe.
Sharks.
Yep.
Okay.
Has the long beard.
Yeah.
Yep. So he goes in, and then working with Jeremy Gover as long as you did. Absolutely. Alexander McGillney.
There we go. Yes. And to this day, I will tell you that the loudest place I've ever been, crowd size-wise, was versus the Sharks, the 07 playoffs, when J.P. Dumont hit the shorthanded goal to score. I thought that's the loudest I've ever heard Bridge, even louder than Mike Fisher scoring at 5 o'clock in the morning.
That was pretty loud.
Quadruple overtime.
But I don't think anybody had anything loud.
Right. Dumont scoring that goal versus, well, I guess Thornton was on the Sharks at the time,
yeah,
was an amazing moment because he was by himself and he scored, and Bridgestone went bananas.
That triple overtime game, though, it was legitimately like 1 in the morning.
Because it started at 9:30.
Yeah,
or
right.
Crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was late, and I just remember sitting in the media room with her. I think I looked at Robbie. I'm like, "Is this game ever going to end?" Because like, it gets to a point where you're in it, like you're already committed,
yeah,
like you are past the point of bailing out, like you're with it. So it's like for me, it kind of got to, let's see how long this thing will go. Like, let's be a part of history here.
But win it.
But win it, right.
Imagine all that.
Because, like, if you were a Sharks fan or, like, work for Sharks or whatever, you were exhausted the next day.
Yeah.
We weren't as bad because the Preds won.
Yeah, right. But that's what playoff hockey is.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best playoff format in all sports.
I'll always hear Pete's call of rebound Fisher scores, Mike Fisher scores, go ape, and then Brent Peterson just going, ah!
Yeah, right. I mean, it was amazing. So you lose that game at 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. You're exhausted and you're pissed off and you're hurt. And I mean, but Fisher scored and that place went bananas.
I remember walking into the locker room and all the guys are sitting down, which they never were doing. They usually were standing. Mm-hmm. And like, you could just look at them and like, guys need a nap?
Right. Yeah. Yep. And it's funny, I never would go in there talking to Fisher afterwards. I couldn't tell whether they won or lost. His expression, he was so tired.
Oh, yeah.
You could, like, God, they lose this game? I'm in the wrong locker room? They were so beaten down and so
tired.
Wasn't
that they had just had their son, too, I think. Or he was young.
I don't know.
Their oldest. Yeah. Calling you.
Isaiah.
Yeah, Isaiah, yeah.
I don't know. But it was – that was a moment. It's a top – God, that's
a top – that is a top sports moment in Nashville history.
It's a top five. That's a top five to me. I mean,
the Miracle one.
Miracle's one. I think the Nedney do-over against the Steelers is a moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was like, what the hell happened? Because he missed the field goal.
Yeah.
He missed it.
And he's then, so flat.
Yeah, right? And then they're offsides and everything goes on. But the Preds moment, to me, I mean, beating Anaheim to go to the Stanley Cup Final in 17.
Yeah.
Because it was here.
That was big.
Because we screwed up a graphic on Channel 4, which I got blamed for. It wasn't me. And then Fisher's moment, JP's moment.
Wasn't that the same night that Chris was doing a live shot and the people were, like, making out behind him?
That was after the Stanley Cup
was
final.
That was in the final? That was so funny.
Was it 04 and they beat Detroit here in the first round of the playoffs?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll never forget that moment because – they super Jeff Fisher in the crowd. They spelled his name wrong. They put a C in there.
Oh, yeah.
And then that was loud. That was really loud because they beat the Red Wings.
Yeah. Well,
they lost.
There's another moment that I think's in the top five that happened last year. Vanderbilt beating Alabama.
Oh, I'm talking hockey.
No, I was just sport, like Nashville sports moments.
Oh, yeah. You beat the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
At Vanderbilt.
Yeah. That's in there.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah.
Music City Miracle.
Fisher's goal. Vanderbilt beating Alabama. Yep. God, you go on and on with this.
We'll think on it during the break.
It's rude, but okay.
Chase and Big Joe, we're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel, the proud sponsor of this here radio program. You can tune in tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Pre-game at 5:50, first pitch at 6:05, and Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9. The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. A little Vincent Gill bringing us back here on this Thursday, our buddy.
You know, you listen to him, and how does a guy – I mean, he's not a small guy.
No.
He's a big guy.
Yep.
Can sing like an angel.
I know. He does.
I mean, there are some people who are just blessed with amazing talent. I mean, I've got zero talent except – you know, being a slouch. And that guy.
Pretty good at being a smartass.
Does that pay?
That's a talent.
Right. But he's just, I mean, some people just find their calling that God has blessed them with. But he's also so nice. Good God.
My favorite, one of my favorite things about him is whenever we reach out and we ask him to do something, and, you know, he's always very like, you know, hey, I wish I could, but he doesn't say I'm on tour or I got a show. He's like, I'm working.
Yep.
Like, it's like, I'm working. I gotta go to work. So, but he's the best. A lot of people have said, you know, talking about Nashville sports moments, the Sissons hat trick against the Ducks, that was game six to win that.
Yes.
To go to the Stanley Cup final.
Yep.
So I would say yes.
I mean, downtown, they poured out of that game because the game was over at 5.
Yeah.
Because we had it on Channel 4.
Yeah.
It was over at 5, a little bit like 4:45. And people just poured. We had the arena cam shot. And that's what I love about this hockey team and why I want them to be so good, because we all came together downtown for that, and it was so much fun. That's what I miss.
I'll never forget going – the game ends. I go with, you know, like Robbie and the others, and we're going downstairs to go to the locker room to do the postgame stuff. And the whole team's going to go out for the trophy, you know, for the Western Conference trophy. And I see Ryan Johansson, who literally had just had that surgery. I mean, like, he's on crutches. You can tell he's still, like, kind of out of it from the surgery and everything. And just like, you know, hey, Joey, congrats, man. And he's like, dude, what the? Like, right. Is this happening right now? And I stand by. He doesn't get hurt. There's a Stanley Cup in Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember they walked in and somebody, they like, because they had did they life flight him or something from Bridgestone to Vanderbilt immediately?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, did he have a heart? And the word got out, he had a compartment injury. I'm like,
yeah.
What the hell is that? Then you read about it?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, good Lord.
Well, because had he gotten on the plane, it could have gotten real bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, still, that, you know, that was a moment. But, yeah, you added Vanderbilt. I didn't forget about it, but
yeah,
I was
yeah,
so
yeah.
focused on
well,
the Reds,
then, the, I mean, what other Titans moments are there? The Music City Miracle is by far number one.
Sure.
I mean, you could say.
Would you add the, I don't know, it's maybe extreme, the stiff arm over Josh Norman? Because people, that was during COVID.
Was that here?
Yes. And people, the reaction.
That was like a Tuesday night game, wasn't it?
Yeah. Just the reaction of the guys on the sidelines.
The you know what. Like, just sit.
Sit him flying, man.
That was one of the first.
That's a statue I'd build.
Oh, yeah. The stiff, yeah, oh, yeah, 100%.
And have Josh Norman's carrot flying out of there.
There's a guy on Instagram and Twitter that, like, has gotten famous for doing, like, fake play-by-play where he's, like, cussing and
oh, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah,
like
he's
that.
Great. Yes.
Yeah, Bob Manera.
Something like that.
Something
yep.
like that. one of the first I remember is that, and he's like, Derrick Henry's like, sit your ass down. Says some other things. But
would that
so
not be?
That.
I mean, I don't know, like, the greatest, like, a championship moment, but – that's something we remember. You know, it's another thing that I remember, and this is kind of odd too. 2008, Titans were playing the Jags.
Yep.
And it might have been the opening play of the game. Chris Johnson trots out to the side, to the press box side, as a receiver. And nobody from Jacksonville guards him. So Kerry Collins is behind, and he's like, snap, he's like wanting the ball immediately. And he gets it, and he throws this wobbly pass because he was so excited. And Chris Johnson gets it and goes 80 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, I remember
I'll never forget that because he was 50 yards. There was nobody within 50 yards of Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
And we saw how fast. I was like, good Lord, this guy that fast. And he scored a touchdown.
When was the what game was it? The first time they called it the King Cat, but they lined Henry up in the Wildcat. And he threw the was it the playoff game against Baltimore that he threw?
No, he threw Corey Davis. Against the Eagles.
Yeah.
He did that.
That was cool. And there was one against the Ravens. There was something against the Ravens.
A playoff game, the Ravens, he did that.
To Jonnu. And Jonnu was on his butt.
To Corey Davis, I believe, right?
That was Corey Davis?
Yeah. They were at the 2-yard line, and Derrick Henry threw the jump pass to Corey Davis in the back of the end zone.
But was it against Baltimore?
Yeah, it was in the playoff game.
Yeah, playoff game.
Okay.
But didn't he do one versus the Eagles in 17? I think he did. Or is that Mariota threw that? But he did something one of those games. Maybe Mariota threw that pass.
I think Derek's only had 4 passes in his career. He has 100% pass completion.
Yeah.
Did LeJuan catch one?
That sounds right.
That was a home game before they had the jersey switcheroo, when they got the new jerseys.
So it'd been 2017.
Yeah, because, I'm thinking home games. I mean, the 60-yarder by Baronis.
Oh, we'll forget. The Baronis is a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, that 99-yard Thursday night run.
Oh, yeah.
Versus Jacksonville.
Yeah. But that was there, wasn't it?
At Nissan Stadium.
Oh, it was here?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Remember he got to the 15 and Corey Davis was downfield blocking, and he almost stiffed-armed Corey Davis because he turned around and just saw a jersey there, and he put his hand out and then realized it was his own teammate.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I mean, Derek's going to have, like, when he's done and they start showing his highlights, we're all going to go, oh, yeah, I remember that one.
I just know we're leaving one massive moment out at Nissan Stadium.
Dylan and Antioch said Marcus was wide open on that throw to Davis. I think he was, because I think that was the option. He could go to Davis or he could go to Marcus.
Right.
Oh, okay, it wasn't in Nashville, but, I mean, this is a memorable moment. I don't know if it's top 10, but Mariota's pass to himself.
Yep. The playoff game?
Yeah. I mean, yep. It gets tipped, and he catches it.
Kansas City wild card game.
Yeah. I made some – I forget what it was on Twitter, because my graphic was when Mariota spoke into the game, I put down quarterback, running back, offensive lineman, wide receiver. Because he did all those things.
He did.
In that game to get it
he
done. Could,
he had some – there wasn't there a, another one where he made a big block for
Might have been that game.
It could have been that game. And Vrabel was like, yeah, that was great. Don't do it again.
He did something in the championship game. He blocked for Derrick Henry against the Chiefs game in the 2017 playoff.
Yeah.
And Malarkey was one like, yeah.
Yeah, like that was fantastic. Don't ever do it again.
And that was it. Another moment, and this is funny, when Perry Phoenix and Deron Jenkins got into a fight on the bench over a warm seat. In January of 2002, they're playing the Bengals and nobody's there. I asked Derek Mason about that time. Derek Mason was like, I was just trying to stay warm myself. I was like, I'd have gone for that seat too if I wanted to stay warm. It was a moment where we were all sitting behind the bench, saw that fight happen, and it was amazing.
A couple of others real quick. Brandon and Hermitage, favorite Nashville sports moment, Vince Young against the Houston Texans when he ran a good 30 or 40 yards in overtime to score a touchdown and win the game.
Yep.
That was a good one. 7-2-3-2, MTSU defeats Kentucky in the NCAA tournament at Vanderbilt.
Oh, yes, 1982. Because had Kentucky won that game, and Chip Walters, I know you're listening, had Kentucky won that game, they were going to play Louisville.
Yeah.
And they hadn't played Louisville since the 50s or something. So Middle ruined everything that they had planned.
Well, I mean, we got to include MTSU defeating Michigan State.
True, but this is more Nashville things. That
yeah, right.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
but yeah,
if you're going to include,
if you just go Nashville moments, Middle beating Kentucky at Memorial Gymnasium in 1982 is a massive moment.
VY 99-yard drive to win the game against the Cardinals, touchdown to Kenny Britt.
Yep,
that was a good one.
I don't think they had any timeouts either, and went down the field and did that. I mean, there's been some big moments.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Greg said, if you remember with the Fisher overtime goal, the Sharks had actually scored, but it was overturned for goalie interference. I did forget about that.
I don't remember that. Yeah. Gosh.
There you go. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. It's Chase and Big Joe on 102.5 The Game. Road as they broadcast live at the Duncan Grand reopening in Hermitage, 5205 Old Hickory Boulevard tomorrow. They're, we'll be doing their show 6 to 9, but starting at 8 o'clock, the first 100 people in line will win free coffee for 100 days, plus 102.5 The Game will have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Nashville concert. So be sure to go say hi to Robbie and Paul Kuharski. We'll be there. PK will be hanging out with Robbie tomorrow. Joe and I are about to head to Albany. We will have coverage of the Nashville Cats versus the Albany Firebirds in the Arena Crown Championship game, which you can hear on both 102.5 The Game and Totally Hits 93.3 starting at 11:30 on Saturday. We'll do our show from Albany tomorrow, so I'm sure we'll have a lot of Cats flavor.
Yes.
And
plus John McClain.
Plus John McClain will join us tomorrow, mm-hmm. So it will be a good time. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. Brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc., the backbone of Middle Tennessee's construction scene since 1997. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards.
All right, Joe, and first on the list, we have Beautician's Day. Shout out to my mom. She's one of the beauticians.
Hey, how about a little bit more energy when you say that about your mom?
Love you, Mom. Thank you.
Beautician's Day.
Beautician's Day. Thanks. To Mrs. Dr. Crane.
Yep.
There we go. Yep. Forgiveness Day is today, so hopefully people can forgive a lot of things and whatever.
Oh, yes.
International Day in support of victims of torture, so that's never good. National Barcode Day. That's. You guys seen that guy that has the barcode of a chicken breast on his chest? You guys see that?
No, I've missed that one.
Pretty cool. They just scan his shirt, and he gets all the chicken breast he needs. National Bomb Pop Day is today. So, you know, the red, white, and blue. Love that.
Oh, yeah. Those are good. Yeah.
National Chocolate Pudding Day. Good old chocolate pudding. National Coconut Day is today. Compare that with the chocolate pudding. I love it. National
good.
Handshake Day. Hey.
Strong Party
takes.
Handshake.
Strong Look
takes
him in the eye.
Handshakes. There you go.
Look in the eye.
And Tropical Cocktail Day.
That'll be us at 2:30 at the airport today. Chasing myself with Mai Tais at the bar. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Get these within two. Our first birthday, he was in the movie Silence of the Lambs. The singer, Chris Isaak. How old is he today?
67.
59.
69. Nice. Singer Patti Smith, who's married to John McEnroe. She was the lead singer of Scandal. Goodbye to you.
Nice. Patti Smith, I'm going to say 64.
72.
68. Robin, actor Chris O'Donnell.
Who is also going to be in the brand new 911 Nashville.
Is he?
He is.
Who was his Batman? Clooney?
He had Val Kilmer and George Clooney.
Okay.
Chris O'Donnell, I'm going to say 54.
57.
55. Chaser's up 2-0. The funny actor Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec.
46.
42.
55. His co-star from that show, Aubrey Plaza. Not to be confused with
Nakatomi Plaza.
Nakatomi Plaza. There we go.
51.
45.
41. Nice. Chase's favorite singer, besides Taylor Hicks, who didn't call in today, Ariana Grande.
34.
32.
32, exactly. Nice. We're tied at two. Back up here. Actor Clive Francis was in The Crown, the great British actor.
58.
65.
79. Actor Robert Davi. He was in Die Hard. He's one of the FBI agents that died in the helicopter.
Johnson or Johnson?
Yeah, the other one.
72.
79.
74. Chase, you're back on top, 3-2. Musician Mick Jones of The Clash.
73.
77.
70. Actor Getty Watanabe. He was in 16 Candles. He was the... God, I can't sit on the radio, but he was the stepson.
Oh, yeah.
The adopted son.
59.
70 years old. Wow. The writer-director Paul Thomas Anderson, who did Magnolia and Boogie Nights.
74.
80.
55. Actor Sean Hayes from Will and Grace. God, he's funny, dude.
55.
65.
55, exactly. Chased up 5-2. She lives out in Lebanon. Singer Gretchen Wilson.
48.
52.
51. Dr. Ooh, Crane's battling nice. Back 5-3. Where are you? The drummer of Kings of Leon, Nathan Folwell, who is from Mount Juliet.
Mount Juliet. 47.
42.
46. Chaser's up 6-3, trying to pull away from this. Okay, let's get sports birthdays. Cyclist Greg LeMond.
Why would I know a cyclist?
He won the. He was like the top Tour de France guy for years. Greg LeMond.
So he didn't cheat.
Like he didn't. The other one. I mean, he didn't cheat.
45.
48.
64.
Nice.
Shannon Sharp.
54. 56. 57.
Dr. Crane's back within striking distance. Michael Vick.
46.
44.
That's a push. 45. Down to our last two. And the last one's going to be like, what? This one. Chad Pennington. Former Marshall quarterback from Knoxville, Tennessee. Yep.
Knoxville Webb.
Chad Pennington.
Chad Pennington, 47.
Did he play for the Jets?
He did.
He did. And the Dolphins.
I'm going to go 44.
49. Chase has secured a victory. Our last birthday, and God, this makes me feel so old. How old is Derek Jeter today?
The captain. 50.
45.
51 years old.
Wow.
Derek Jeter is 51. But Chase, you went 8-4, buddy. I'm proud of you. Well done.
Jeez. That is. I do feel old.
You should.
That is going to do it for us live from the Omni today. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Albany.
Yes, we will do that. Hey, today is a special day. My mother passed away 14 years ago today. You know, we always send a message out to the guys out there if you're struggling, going through things. My mom never gave up on me. So if you got a friend who's going through something and they're frustrating you and they're driving you crazy, don't give up on them. I'm telling you right now. Don't give up on them. Whatever they're going through, talk to them, help them out. As we say all the time, our world is a better place because you are here. Just don't give up on people. You know in your heart when it's time to give up, but that's usually way down the road. So don't give up on them. Show them a lot of love. Know that we love you. And more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.